Dr. Tamara Greenberg offers hope and practical advice to those impacted by a loved one's chronic illness. In her new book, When Someone You Love Has a Chronic Illness, she looks to provide explanations for complicated feelings and behaviors, important tools you need to help lighten the burden, and something that we all feel, obviously, when someone we love is ill. Dr. Tamara McClintock-Greenberg is an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California in San Francisco. She is in private practice there, and she joins us on the show this morning to talk about this subject and the new book. Dr. Greenberg, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A great pleasure. So much of I guess the word that jumps out at me of the title is love. That what makes this so hard is that we love the person that we are seeing that has this chronic illness, and it's for us to obviously help them, but to cope and deal with ourselves, and that's two really big jobs, isn't it?
Exactly, right, because it's not just about the pragmatic aspects of caregiving, or even to some extent, you know, what to do or what to say, but you're exactly right. I mean, relationships are the most important thing, I think, for most of us, and so when someone we love does get sick, it makes us feel really anxious, it makes us feel helpless, and it's just increasingly, you know, painful. As we all live longer, more and more of us are actually going to be in this situation.
So without being overly academic, let me ask the very simple question, which is, how do we define a chronic illness?
A chronic illness is an illness that goes on for a longer period of time. That's sort of in opposition to what we call an acute illness, where, you know, you get some kind of illness and it's treatable, curable,
right.
You know, it gets better. But, you know, people have chronic illnesses are people who have heart disease, for example, cancers where people need to kind of keep constantly checking their health, as well as a whole host of other chronic pain diseases that we see frequently these days, fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, all of those kinds of things that fall into the category of chronic disease.
And for the caretaker, for those of us, when it's someone that we love, our position, our role in that can be, there is a thousand different possibilities, obviously,
right,
of what our role can be. Whether you're living in the house and dealing with the person every moment of the day, or if you occasionally see them as a relative or someone who lives far away, but you still have to know things, even if it requires a phone call and you're seven states away.
Right, exactly, and I do think it's a really diverse role that many of us are going to be in, you know, again, increasingly, because not all of us are going to be in-home caregivers. You know, we're not going to be the spouse of somebody who's ill or an adult child taking care of a parent with dementia. More and more of us are going to, I think, frequently need to be in conversation with people about illnesses, as well as when we have friends and family who are in caretaking roles. It is really important to know, you know, the kinds of questions to ask, how to communicate, how to not make people feel isolated by just ignoring something that's going on.
You talk about the communication. It's one of the things that you bring up in the book about the flexibility that we should have. If somebody wants to talk, then talk. If
right.
somebody wants to back off of it and obviously is uncomfortable talking about it, then don't dwell on it.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's not about us. I mean, that's the sort of the thing I try to promote when I talk with people, is it's really about the patient. And if we can just take a breath, take a moment, and try to figure out what the patient might need, it really takes the pressure off of us in terms of, oh gosh, I got to come up with the right thing to say. Because that is something a lot of people really worry about. But unfortunately, when we get caught up in our own anxieties about what to say or how should I respond to this, it can end up feeling, you know, really false and unsupportive to patients or people in different illness situations.
And I think you spell this out very nicely in the book about the importance of asking questions. One of the things that you can do to keep a conversation going is to ask a lot of questions about the experience and what's going on without getting into the prognosis and what the end may be.
Exactly, because, you know, obviously a lot of patients are not going to want to talk about it. Some can't even think about it.
Right.
So let what they say be your guide. If they bring up prognosis, then you certainly should say, oh, so, you know, what have you thought about that, or what have you heard about that? But to really let the patient be the leader in the conversation, that goes a long way. And just being mindful and present of, you know, what it is they're saying, and have that be your guide.
You have a chapter in here, God love you, on dealing with doctors, what everyone needs to know.
Right.
And boy, you want to talk about a minefield.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the doctors and the nurses who do incredible work, but oh my goodness. I mean, it is a very difficult thing to navigate, because they have a lot of patients and they're doing a lot of different things. And of course, that person that you are trying to get information on is the most important person to you, but for the next 10 doors down, you have other people who are trying to get the access, the exact same information.
Right.
So it is hard to do it. And I guess my question to you is, how do you navigate that? And do you recommend there being, almost a family spokesperson, like one person that deals with that aspect of it, or have like Team Bob, where everybody is just rushing in and saying, this is what we need to know, and we need to know it now?
Well, that's a really great question, and one that frequently comes up. It is often better to have one family spokesperson. So, for example, if a parent is in the intensive care unit and there's three siblings, let's say, and all of them are calling the doctor, that drives doctors crazy.
Right.
Because, you know, they're communicating the exact same thing, you know, to three different people. So it's a great idea to have a family spokesperson. And the other thing is really to treat conversations with physicians as well as medical appointments like a business meeting. You know, I think we can all complain and feel disappointed when our doctors are not as, you know, empathic or warm and fuzzy as we want them to be. But I feel pretty convinced after doing this for a long time that it might not be a fair expectation to expect physicians to do it all. So I really encourage people to, you know, to say, you know, your doctor should be kind and respectful. And if you tell him you're depressed, you know, it is her or his job to talk with you about what you might be doing to treat that. But in terms of expecting a doctor to really engage in long emotional conversations, in this day and age, many of them are simply too busy
Right.
and too overwhelmed. And so I feel like it's really okay for doctors to do what they do best, which is to focus on the body, to pay attention to the mind, but to do what they need to do to get us healthier. And then there are people like me who, you know, make a living talking to patients, for example.
You bring up a great point in the book that I wanted to talk about, and you have a chapter in here on denial, and not just in the case of the patient, but of the family too, and what damage that denial can do. And one of the things that you talk about is that none of us like to lose control and not have control over a situation. And you advocate finding that point of what you have control over.
Exactly. So if you're in a situation where, you know a patient, you're married to a patient, or your mother or your father isn't taking care of their bodies, there really is so much you can do. Nagging doesn't work because that, you know, frequently backfires. But there are things you can say, like, I'm really scared that you're not going to live as long because of the way you're treating your body, but I can't control you. And then to step back from that and to focus on, as you implied, take control where you can. You know, we can all control what we're doing in terms of our own health, in terms of, you know, taking our best chance at taking care of ourselves and hoping we don't get sick. But even that is limited, right? I mean, you can do everything right and still become ill. So it really is about a balance.
And you even have a chapter on here on caregiving and asking the question of, can you care too much? And the answer, of course, is yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, people get so caught up in a spiral of caregiving that they genuinely forget that if they don't take care of themselves, they're just not going to be very useful to whomever they're taking care of. People forget that, and they do need to be reminded. And I kind of make it practical. I don't even make it too much of a thing that needs to be analyzed. It really is, look, if you're burnt out, you actually can't be helpful to anyone.
And getting the support that you need. The final thing that I want to talk on, we only have a minute left, but is just the reality of dealing with someone who is in pain and seeing that person in pain. And man, that's hard.
It is really hard, and it makes people feel extremely, extremely helpless. And the one thing that I do talk about in the pain chapter is that it's really important to see what it is that people who have chronic pain, especially chronic pain, not acute pain, but to see what they can do to be as independent as possible and to be mindful of, oh, am I stepping in when maybe I'm cheating the patient out of an opportunity to be as independent as they can be?
It's a terrific book and very important for anyone who is going through this. When Someone You Love Has a Chronic Illness is the book. Hope and Help for Those Providing Support. The author is Dr. Tamara Greenberg. Tamara, I thank you very much for spending time with us. I wish you all the luck in the world on your work and your book, and I thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. Again, the name of the book is When Someone You Love Has a Chronic Illness. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.